We're in 1 Corinthians 13, and you may say, well, that's what you taught on last week. You're right, but we're going to cover it a little more in depth. Chapter 13 of Corinthians is sandwiched between the gifts of the Spirit. Love is to be our characteristic. It is not to be a gift that we demonstrate, but it's to be a way of life. So we will take this chapter and try to find application in our lives for it. But Paul in chapter 13, he does not speak of the feelings of love, but in beginning of verse 4, Paul tells us what love is. It's not a Hollywood love. It's not a movie type love. But it's a practical lifestyle of love. So in 1 Corinthians 13, I'll read verse 4, 5, and 6. Paul kind of tells us what love is. Love suffers long. And is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love, and we're talking about God's love, agape love, is suffering and is kind. It's to be what we Christians are known for. And Paul inserts it right in the middle of the gifts of the Spirit. The Corinthians were big in the gifts of the Spirit, but obviously they needed instructions on how to love the Lord and love one another. Now, one of the things I appreciate for myself is God's long-suffering towards me. Because I would have quit on me years ago, but God hasn't quit on me. I am prone to disassociate people I find unpleasant, people that I don't necessarily get along with, I will kind of just disassociate myself from them. But how does love show itself to those that annoy us? Oh, you don't have anyone that annoys you? Let me point out something. No. We all have people that we are annoyed by. So do we show them kindness, especially if they're a brother or sister in the Lord? Do we show kindness? It's amazing to me that a child will not befriend an adult who is unkind. A child looks for kindness. They look for warmth. They look for a hug versus being scolded. So a question can become, how do children view us? And in verses 4 through 6, there's 8 things listed that love is not. And it begins with envy. Envy only hurts others and myself. When others, perhaps less qualified, are promoted ahead of me or before me, am I envious? Well, maybe. Envy caused Cain to kill his brother Abel. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers because of envy. Jesus went to the cross because of the envy of the religious leaders that they had towards him. And Paul the Apostle said of envy, I would not have even known it was a sin except that it was written, it is sinful to envy. So do we envy? Love does not parade itself. Love does not need the limelight to have a way of expression in us. Do we love without being the center of attention? Or does pride draw attention to ourselves and we sometimes want to show how gracious we can be? And we've all seen a husband or a wife that benefit from a behind-the-scenes love of their mate. A mate who bathes or glories in the gift of love to others. There was a devoted wife who was asked why she served her unbelieving husband so thoroughly and so faithfully. She had a reply. This life is all he has. So I will give him love during this lifetime because he doesn't have the hope of a hereafter. That's a loving wife. Notice, love is not rude. Love does not behave rudely. That's being judgmental. We can say, I'm not judging, I'm picking fruit. Well, you're judging. You're judging because of what you see. Love is kind. There was a young man new to New York City, and he's on the busy sidewalks, and he's wondering what time of day it is, so he stops a man on the street to ask him for the time. Instead of this man giving him the time, he gives him a lecture. Of all the people on his sidewalk, you picked me to stop me and ask for the time. He could have told him the time much quicker. But that's called New York rudeness. I hope nobody's here from New York. Love surrenders to the will of others. Are you a person that feels like you almost always have to have things go your way? Maybe you should examine yourself. Especially when the issue you're fighting for is really a non-issue. Love is not provoked. Being provoked isn't love. Being provoked is a sin. Now, we don't always look at being provoked as being a sin. Moses, the great deliverer of Israel, was forbidden for going into the promised land because he became provoked at the people. Moses would hear their grumbling and it bothered him. Love thinks no evil. I can be naive in my thinking. And I take people usually for what they say they are, and sometimes I can be wrong in my opinion towards them. Now, I have an older neighbor across the road from me. He will see me out working in the yard or mowing or something, and he will come over, and he always has these tall tales about his exploits and all the greatness that he has done. And just the other day, he's telling me about one of these things, and I caught him lying about one of his tall tales. So what do I do? Do I call him on the lie? Or do I ignore it? Maybe I was wrong, but I ignored it. And let him have his moment. Love does not rejoice in iniquity or the sins of others. A few years ago, Lori's brother and family came to visit us here in the South. And we were watching some shoot 'em up movie on TV. And their teenage son was watching this movie, and he rejoiced when the bad guy got shot and killed. It's only a movie. What's the harm? But it showed his heart. He rejoiced in the death of the bad guy. Do we rejoice when justice comes to evil? But it tells us love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love being inclusive there. Surely not all things. Yes, it does. Can I bear all things? No, not usually. We can come to know one another, come to know a fellow saint, and we can see, quote, their shortcomings. We can see their flaws, and we all have them, but love endures all things. When was the last time you were patient with somebody that was just consuming your time and energy? Love endures all things. Love goes beyond just accepting that brother, but enduring that believer. Love, has been said, it never fails. In this chapter, we read, prophecies, they will fail, tongues will cease, knowledge will vanish. But not in our journey here in life. Love is a lifelong trait. It's a lifetime priority. God calls on us to give unfailing love. Chapter 13 is about our lifestyle of love. Chapter 13 is not about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 12 and chapter 14, Paul gets back into the gifts of the Spirit, but chapter 13 stands alone. It's to be the character of a believer. It's to be what we're known for, love. Now, we all have faults. We all have what we call character flaws. And many of them have come from the way we were raised or the home we were raised in. Perhaps we saw things that were unfair, unloving, and perhaps were even exposed to being unloved. But maybe it's time, chapter 13 says it's time, for us to do a self-examination of, do we love? Or do we have a wife who will say things like, now, Pastor Don, consider your attitude. Wait, where does she get off telling me? Now, I would be foolish and in error if I didn't listen to this woman that loves me. She's trying to guide me, direct me to a better attitude. So, Lori, when you say Pastor Don, say it in a loving way. Maybe she does and I don't hear it. And now abide or live within faith, hope, and love. Paul tells us at the end of 13, abide in them. Let it be part of your makeup. Let it be part of your lifestyle. Is God part of our DNA as a Christian? Are we known for love? We're to be known for love. And this kind of love is not a gifting of the Holy Spirit. It is to be our character and lifestyle. It's the way we are to live. But notice the pursuit of faith, hope, and love. Are they characteristics that we're known for? Now, Paul, in chapter 13, he says, you can say not all of us are gifted in the certain gifts, and the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit in and as he sees fit. But love is to be there in all of us. Paul even says, not all have the gift of healings. Not all have the gift of helps or administration or the gift of tongues. These gifts are to be distributed or demonstrated, I should say, within the body of believers. They're to be evident. And Paul, he declares, but I tell you a more excellent way. Not living in the gifts, but living in agape love. The Apostle John, the only apostle to not suffer a martyr's death. He was the only one not killed. They tried to boil him in oil, but that didn't kill him. In his old age, in his 90s and so forth, he would be carried from church to church. And he had one message for the church. And that was, little children, love one another. Simple message, right? Simple message. A message from the apostle of love. For John, he identifies himself in his gospel. He said, hey, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Well, we could all say that, could we not? John lived and moved in the love of Christ. But Paul, he talks about faith and hope and them passing away. They are for us in this church age and for this day of grace that we live in today. Faith and hope, when they've completed their mission, when it's done and said, we'll be out of here. We'll be in heaven. Jesus did not need the gift of faith and hope, for he was God in the flesh. But he says, we need it, and we need it for today. But Jesus, what was he? He was known for his love. And love was not the mushy, marshmallowy, attitude. Jesus knew how to be firm and solitude. He knew how to correct his disciples. He knew how to preach the message of repentance. But Jesus loved mankind. And faith and hope were just simply part of his being. So, Jesus said to us, his church, be like me. Love, care. Have a true care. For Jesus said, I am a demonstration to you, grow in love, for love never fails. Therefore, we, the body of Christ, are to love in a way that glorifies Jesus. That can be a side issue for some of us. A few years back, I came to a crossroads in my service to God and being a pastor, and I realized I must try to serve God, not because it's the right thing to do, not because it's the way I was raised, but I need to serve my God out of love. I was in need of His love for my ministry, for myself, for my attitude. I need to love Him where I could love you, His children. And you can't do the one without the other. And all the gifts of the Spirit will not cover my need for the love of God. I need God's love. And I had a need for Him to love me and it be seen, and for me to love Him and it be seen, and for me to love others. Otherwise, what was I doing in ministry? I should be known for loving God and His people. That is what we're all to be known for. And the gifts of the Spirit, they're like icing on the cake. They're important, they're needful, but to love is to be like Jesus. To love is to be free of pettiness. For love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus wanted us to know Him for His love. He identified in love, love of the Father, love of man. And through His love of mankind came salvation or redemption. For God so loved the world. Our God, our Lord Jesus, chose to be known for love. And it's a term or a word that's overused in our society today. We can love one another, the agape love. We can love our pet. We can love ice cream. But those are examples that fall way short of the true love of God. Have you ever considered, what if God had chosen to be pernicious, cold, unloving, unforgiving, vindictive? A God who could not be bothered by lowly mankind, to be a God separated from His creation. No, He chose to come and dwell among us and to die for us. But you know, there's many religions in the world today that fear, afraid of God. For they have put God into a judgmental bracket. They have made Him judge and juror over them versus Savior. And there's many religions that are fearful, very fearful of offending God, the God they know. But our God, He is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all loving also. Accept His love, show His love. and love one another just like Jesus loved us. Amen? Amen. This chapter is a chapter that probably should be the heart and soul of the character of us Christians. Be known for our love. So let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, I know, Lord, I can be short with people. I can be unloving. But Lord, I know also that does not please you. So Lord, cause me to love like you love. Do a work in my heart and life that would cause me to love one another, to prefer your people, your Christians, your children, over the people of the world. Show a preference for the people you love and show a preference for you, Lord. Let me be loving. Let me have the attributes of love. Be kind, compassionate. Do a work in my heart. Do a work in the hearts of your people, Lord, and cause us to love one another and cause us to love you. And let us be known for that love. We pray for this and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.